Good morning. It's been pretty busy for me the past 3 weeks. For those of you guys who don't know, I regularly preach over at RCC 2 to 3 times a month right now. And for the past 3 weeks, I did not have to preach. And so, but even though I didn't have to preach, things for me was still pretty busy. I was kept busy doing a bunch of other things. 2 weeks ago, over at RCC, we had our Chinese retreat. I was responsible for both the children's program and the youth program at the same time. For the children's program, I had a really good crew. I had people here in our SCAC family come on over to help us out. And so we had Prez, Julia, Ben, Karen, and Janet, and Annette. Had a really great crew. They came over. Very, very flexible. Over at the retreat, we probably had them switch rooms probably like 3-4 times. And as you guys know, retreats are kind of hectic, and especially with little kids, moving them from one place to another can be pretty crazy. But they pulled together some great children's program, great crafts and activities. And for the youth program, I was pretty much in charge of everything. Okay. I didn't realize it at the time, probably 2-3 weeks leading into it. For some reason, it just didn't register in my mind that I was in charge of the worship, I was in charge of the message, the icebreakers, the activities, as well as the all-favorite booklet as well. And so the theme for the youth was United We Stand, United We Fall, a call for community. And we did a lot of community type of activities within that group, and I believe that through these activities and through these messages, these kids were really able to grow. We only have about like 4 or 5 kids in my youth ministry over there, and so for these guys to be able to recognize that, hey, there's a greater community out there for me to belong to, and that's great for them to be able to realize that. Week after that, we held our worship over at Worship in the Park, along with you being the host here over at Wilburton Park. It was great to be able to worship out in the open sun. In the morning, I was a little bit afraid that it was actually going to rain, and it'll turn from worship in the park to worship in the rain. And so, but praise God, sun came out. We had 3-4 barbecues, grills going on at the same time. People had a lot of fun throwing the football around, playing some softball. And just a really great time of fellowship. And I'm telling all these stories because, you know, we don't want anybody here within our church family to miss out on any of these great activities that we have in this church. It provides a really great atmosphere, a really great sense of community. So we want to encourage you to attend these things. Yesterday, church had a huge golf tournament with close to 40 people playing over at the Bellevue Golf Course. And I wasn't able to go to this event, but, you know, I've been to events like, you know, basketball tournaments, I've been to tennis tournaments, and all these tournaments have just been a great sense of fellowship there. And if any of these church-wide events, you know, kind of pique your interest, you know, go to these events, you know, participate. And if you don't feel like participating, just go just to encourage people. And it's just so fun to be able to do that and be part of church family and be able to part of church life. In the midst of all these fun and exciting activities, over at RCAC, we also realized that we're going through a transition period. And a lot of you guys have been reading about it in the bulletins. I believe last week, Bolivar came over and made a special announcement as well. But just some of the changes that we've been going through. And the top two things right now are on our mind is, one, the facility search, and two, the pastoral search. Last week, we announced that to everybody here that, you know, our pursuit of Skyway, the property over in Skyway, has ended. They rejected our offer, and now the church board is kind of coming back together and really thinking through, you know, where is God really leading us? And we would really love for everybody here, our extended church family, to really continue to pray for us as we try to find where to go. 2 weeks ago, we also interviewed somebody for the Chinese pastoral position. Continue to pray for us in that area as well. His name is Henry Wong, and he graduated from Bethel Seminary over in Minnesota. And just kind of like, just like in a dating relationship, you know, he's pursuing us and we're pursuing him at the same time. And so just continue to pray for us as we pursue one another and to see, you know, if we really are a good match and if God is really calling him to come on over. And now switching over to news over here, as Vince led to a little earlier, he said, you know, New Life is over at a camping trip this weekend, and we also want to definitely keep them in our prayers as well. And so before we start, let's begin by praying for over these couple items right here. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the ministry that you have planted over in the Renton area. We are going through definitely a lot of transitions, but we continue to trust in you and what you have in store for us over in Renton. And we continue to pray for your provision for our Chinese pastor. We continue to pray for your provision of a facility that we can call our own, that we can worship together in over there. And we also want to continue to pray for the ministry, the high school ministry here, God, as as Pastor Tung has took all the new lifers over to Ocean City State Park and just enjoying a weekend, hopefully a weekend of sunshine, a weekend of fellowship, and a weekend of growth. And we just want to continue to pray, Lord, that you would just oversee them as they travel back. And I just want to give you thanks for what you're doing in their ministry as well. So we want to give you thanks and pray all this in your name. Amen. I love being able to walk along the lakeshore at retreats. And they can be especially peaceful at times. It seems like it doesn't really matter what time of day it is. Whenever there's free time, people are always hanging around the lake. Is that right? And so during free time in the afternoon, during the early mornings, late in the evenings, going out for a stroll along the lake. And most of the times, you know, I like to take it slow. I take it one step at a time, one foot at a time, a little bit slow like this, kind of like this, one step at a time. Maybe looking down at my feet, hands in my pocket, and just having a lot of different types of thoughts go through my mind. And probably the number one thing that came through my mind before I met Jamie was, when am I ever going to find a wife? And now that I am with Jamie, you know, it makes me think, man, I wish she was actually with me. And, you know, I know a lot of you guys are saying, you know, it's kind of ew, you know, why would Ray want to share about that? But if Pastor Tung gets to share about Julie, I get to share about Jamie. And I'm sure many of you have also taken those long walks along this lake shores at retreats. Or along the beaches over on Alki. And a lot of different issues might come to your mind. And sometimes you might walk slow, just like I did. One step at a time, very slow. And sometimes you walk at a faster pace. Sometimes you take long strides. People go at different paces along this lakeshore. And if you take the time to actually look up instead of staring at your feet, if you take the time to actually look up and look around you, you'll find there are some people that are further along the lakeshore. And if you look behind you, there are some people that are further behind you. Now, this is probably a very excellent picture of what kind of like our spiritual journey looks like. If we were to put everybody here, everybody in this room around a lake, okay, you would find some people on this spiritual journey, some people are ahead of us. Some people are behind us. Some people are walking really fast. Some people are taking their time and walking slow. At one point in time, maybe some of us were walking on the fast track to spiritual growth, but then suddenly hit this great wall and start walking and taking these little mini steps. Maybe even walking backwards a little bit. Right here at SCAC, we've been going through a series called How to Grow. And we've been going through topics like passion and vision and the impact of the Holy Spirit in terms of spiritual growth. This morning, we're going to be asking this question. What type of relationships do we need in our life in order to promote spiritual growth? Now, if we look at this picture again, if we look at this picture of walking along the lakeshore, I believe we need to be in relationship with people who are behind us. When we look back, we have to, you know, even squint a little bit in order to see who these people are and how far behind they are of us. But at the same time, this is exactly what Paul did on his missionary journey with his young pupil. In Acts 16, it says this. It says, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take Timothy along with him. Notice the way in which Paul started off this relationship with young Timothy. We know that later on, Timothy writes, you know, two books, you know, 1 and 2 Timothy. We knew that Timothy was instrumental in the growth of the church over at Ephesus. But his spiritual journey right here was propelled forward with this encounter with Paul. Paul decided to look back on the lakeshore and handpicked Timothy to take part in the ministry of the church. It says here in verse 3, Paul wanted to take Timothy along. People at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of young Timothy. They said, there's a lot of potential in this young man. Doesn't this sound a lot like our church today? Haven't we heard this phrase before? Doesn't this young woman have great potential? It says it happens a lot over here at church. We can look around and we could probably identify people around us, people within this congregation right here, okay, who we can point to and say, you know what? He's got great potential. Or look over at her and say, this girl right here, she's got great potential. People who are young in faith, you know, I'm saying, you know, you could be a Christian for 10, 15, 20 years and still be young in faith. You could be, you know, 35, 40 years old who accepted Jesus Christ yesterday and still be young in faith. And for those who are young in faith, we're telling you right now, you have got great potential. God looks at us and say, he's got great potential. And I want to speak to those of us who are a few big whole steps further along in our spiritual journey. I want to encourage you guys to look back and be like Paul and identify those who you think has great potential and invest your life into that person. Not just investing time, okay, but investing your whole life into that person. Paul handpicked Timothy, who he wanted to invest in, who he wanted to develop and grow. If you were in Timothy's shoes, okay, and you were handpicked by Paul, wouldn't you want to follow him? Especially if you were handpicked. Now I want to speak to those who are young in faith here. I want to encourage you to look forward at those who are ahead of you. Look around you and see who you would like to be in relationship with, who you would like to follow, who you would like to emulate. And hopefully these are also people that emulate, that follow Jesus Christ as well. I want to encourage you to go up to these people and ask them, take courage and ask these people if they would be willing to take you under their wing. And during my ordination process, we are required, in a good way, okay? We are required to have mentors. And I've been really blessed to have a mentor in Pastor Durkee. He's spoken here at least twice this summer. And for those of us who really haven't been in church, who haven't been in this church for a while, you know, or who have been in this church for a while, are, you know, you're quite familiar with Pastor Durkee. He's a man with a lot of great energy. He is a man who has a lot of great ideas, and all this energy and ideas, they're infectious. You know, after having a conversation with him, okay, just a short little conversation with him, you would probably come out of there feeling refreshed, feeling renewed. And I've had the privilege to be able to sit under his wing for the past 7 to 8 months, and I've enjoyed listening to some really great stories. And Pastor Durkee, he has a lot of great stories. But most importantly, a lot of his great stories are centered around God and what God is doing in his life. These are the great stories that he has to tell. You know, anybody can tell great stories. I mean, I'm sure, you know, if he wanted to, he can tell a lot of great personal stories, relationship stories between about him and LMA. But, you know, but he decides to share stories with me about what God has done in his life. And I remember how he was telling us this one story about how God was using him and using his church to build this church over in Bremerton. And he's told me the story probably like 3 or 4 times before, and I never really had the heart to tell him, you've actually told me this already before. And so, but I just enjoy being able to sit and to be able to listen. But as he was sharing this story about this church over in Bremerton, you know, I started realizing what great faith that Pastor Durkee had, and how much I can learn from him in terms of his faith. He was telling about the story about how he encouraged his church board to grow in faith at this time. The church was kind of stuck in a bind. The state decided to build a highway right over the church, and so they had to move, they had to vacate, they had to sell their property back to the state. And they were really stuck. They were limited in finances, but they were able to find a small piece of land they could potentially build on. There were a lot of difficulties, and the church board was very hesitant in pursuing this property. And Pastor Durkee just asked them one question. He asked them, whose church is this? Whose church is this? And like I said, there were a bunch of different obstacles in their way. The church board, you know, came up with a lot of different excuses. You know, we'll never be able to finance this project. We'll never be able to buy this land right here because, you know, the owner of it isn't, you know, isn't very friendly, isn't very to the church and stuff, you know. And most importantly, we'll never be able to build this building because it's on top of a ravine, okay? How are you supposed to build a building with a big hole in the middle of it? And the list goes on and on. But he questioned them. He asked them, whose church is this? Kind of gives you a different perspective of how to ask questions or when we encounter problems. Whose church is this? Pastor Durkee, he had no doubt that the Lord was going to provide for this church. No doubt at all. And what he ended up telling the people at the church was, you know what, it's time to pray. Pray and pray hard. And it speaks volumes to me about the amount of faith that Pastor Durkee has. And just to share, you know, some of the impact that he has had in my life, you know, some of the things that we are going through over in Renton right now. And I would share with him some of the struggles, some of the obstacles that we are going through. And even before I would finish my stories, I would feel like, hey, I need to pray. I need to have greater faith. He is a person who, on this lakeshore, he has a couple thousand steps, a couple thousand whole steps ahead of me, walking around this lake. But he was willing to look back and say, he's got potential. He's got potential. He was willing to take me under his wing. And I'm so thankful because of it. And it's through his experiences that has encouraged me over the past 7, 8 months. In 2 Timothy, it says this, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men, who will also be qualified to teach others." I felt I've really benefited from his teaching. Who in your life can you think of that's a couple whole steps ahead of you? If you look around this room, you could probably identify a good number of people here who are a good whole steps ahead of you. Or, okay, if you can't think of somebody who's that far ahead, maybe you can think of someone who's only a couple half steps ahead of you. Some people who are barely within reach, but they are still reachable. Some people who are only slightly ahead of you on this spiritual journey. And during my college year, okay, I was blessed to be in a mentoring relationship with this big Vietnamese guy. Now, he was only a few whole steps ahead of me on this spiritual journey, and I really wasn't sure what to expect out of this relationship, and he probably didn't know where he was doing as well. And since he's not preaching today, you know, I'm going to make fun of him a little bit. So, Pastor Tung, before Pastor Tung became the youth pastor here at SCAC, before he went down to seminary down at Multnomah, Pastor Tung was just Tung, servant of the Lord here at this church. And during college, I was encouraged by a lot of people to find a mentor. It didn't take me very long before I was able to find him. It was actually very natural for me to find him because we had so many things in common. At the time, at least, you know, we were both single. We both loved coffee, both of us played guitar, and both of us just loved serving the church. And because we had things in common, we were able to really relate to each other very easily. And the thing I learned and appreciated from him the most, even though he was only a couple half steps ahead of me, was this. Was that he always made himself available. He provided for me a kind of a unique perspective of what relationships should look like within the body of Christ. In Acts 2, it referenced how people sold everything that they had and gave to those in need. Now, Tung didn't sell everything. But what he did was he sacrificed himself. He sacrificed his time that he had and made himself available to me. And that's important in a type of mentoring, type of relationship like that. No matter how busy he was always willing to make time for me. I remember calling him a few times in the evening to come out and talk. I probably could have called one of my close friends, but what I needed at that moment was this. I needed to have a heart-to-heart talk with my mentor. Someone who's gone through the trenches, someone who's gone through a little bit more than I have, to be able to give me a little bit of guidance. I pick him up from West Seattle and go down to Alki, and that's where we had our Starbucks drinks. And he probably had a lot of better things to do than to meet up with me, a college kid who's going through a lot of girl issues. He probably had a whole lot of different things to do besides coming down and talking with me. You know, I'm definitely no Pastor Durkee, because I don't think I've walked long enough or experienced enough on this journey to be able to relate to another person, kind of like Pastor Durkee has done for me. But at the same time, I can be someone like Pastor Tung, who can be that mentor, who's only a few steps ahead, who can mentor someone behind. Some of us can get caught up in the mentality that, you know what, I really got nothing to offer another person. You know, I want to encourage you, don't look down on yourself in that way. You know, I can honestly say that, you know, that I've got something to offer someone who is only a few steps behind me. I love being able to disciple and mentor people. And right now, I'm at the beginning stages of mentoring someone, actually, over at up at UW. He's a student up at UW. And since we started our relationship this summer, it's a little weird, okay, because we started our relationship in summer. But even during the summer, we've been able to relate, to come together, to talk, to share a meal, to be able to pray for one another. And I'm telling you, people are hungry, okay? People want people to relate to. People want other people to kind of help them, to guide them in their spiritual journey. People who can answer some of those hard questions. And trust me, you may not think of yourself as kind of that person, but trust me, once you get into that type of relationship with that person, this person's eyes is just going to light on up. It's going to look at you with these big eyes and think the world of you. And that was at least, you know, my relationship with Tung. I think I've since closed my eyes a little bit. But, you know, to be able to be in relationship with Tung, with a mentor in that way, we need to realize that in our life, we need relationships who are people who are in different phases, different journeys. Some are a lot further along on the lakeshore. Some are a little bit behind. Some people are walking right alongside next to you. But in order for us to grow, we need to be connected and we need to be networked with all these different people. In Proverbs 19, it says this. It says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." God has provided for us men and women all around us who is able to help us on our spiritual journey. Sometimes what we think may not be the wisest thing. And it's nice to be able to have that sounding board. It's nice to be able to have that person who is able to give that little extra advice for you. The Lord brings people around us to be able to help us spiritually grow. Listen. Listen to the advice of our mentors. Accept their instruction. But before we can do that, we need to find who those people are. And right now, I know you guys all have your bulletins. If you guys haven't scribbled or doodled on them already, or, you know, for those of you guys who are taking notes, I applaud you. For those of you guys who are in your bulletins, okay, write down some names on there. Write down some names in your bulletins right now. You know, some people who are a few steps ahead of you. And then write down some names who are a couple steps behind you. You know, and just start praying through, hey, are these people the people that I want to be in a mentoring relationship with? You know, look to your left, look to your right. You know, if you think the person on your right can mentor you, you know, just poke them. And kind of wink at them, say, hey, let's go mentor. But I want you guys to write these things down, okay? And so there's a lot of room in there because I didn't have an outline in there, okay? Plenty of room to write names. What type of relationships do we want? We want to be in relationships with people who have great potential for those of us who are further ahead. I want to be able to encourage us. Take courage to take someone under your wing. Take courage to ask someone to take you under their wing. You're not going to regret it. In Ephesians 4, it says this, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ." Now, this is a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. We all have special gifts and talents, but the final outcome of it all is that we want to grow in our spiritual lives. We want to grow into becoming spiritually mature. And we're not going to be able to fully realize what this looks like until we engage in relationships. Spiritual growth is right there for the taking. Are you ready? Are you ready to take up the challenge to be in relationship with people? Are you ready to take up the relationship of taking someone under your wing? To take courage and asking people, are you ready? Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks, Lord, for just the many relationships that we have already. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to guide us to find out who around us that we can come into a more formal mentoring relationship with. People who are ahead of us, who are more spiritually mature, who can help guide us. Maybe people who are a little bit more behind us, so that we can take them under our wing and to help guide them as well. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just help us seek those people out. Help us, Lord, to have courage to be able to seek those people out. And Lord Jesus, we just want to give you thanks, Lord, for just today, Lord, in our time together, Lord. And so we want to pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.